Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
If loving Gogi is wrong, I don't want to be right.
What would Socrates say to that?
It tickles my fans.
Okay.
Goosies.
I don't have hair!
Oof.
You got Marcos.
That's not.
Wait.
That's true. You do got me. Get over here, Marcos. Let me look at you.
They don't want it!
Tobin and Leroy, ready to deploy. Had to hit it with a little journalism, but that was a decoy. Better have about me, boy. Okay, Leroy and Tobin, host of the show, man. Stairs on the stars with the show, and till then, his half moon open. Sometimes go taste like a snowman. No proof, I'm a lie about a motor. No proof. Like I always wanted him, I never hated him. I never traded him, and if I did, I never traded him.
You
know what is a star? Like under the city, the driver's side floor. Go take a large, so many more. 10 in the mar, never a bar. Hey, 10 in the mar, 2 to the P. Nothing to you, but it's something to me. Handsome as ever. Cute as can be, you can watch this on YouTube review for free. This one time for the Twitch, this one time for the text, this one time for the phone line, whole time wonder what they gonna do next.
You know, I just wish you guys would stop the quibbling.
Morning, everybody. Happy free turkey day.
Any chance of us getting you on the screen?
Me personally? No, I'd rather just give you my sultry sounds. We're going to do okay. ASMR all day today, Leroy. We're going to do old school radio, baby. I just want to hear you.
Okay.
Not a fan?
Jason Frog Boy.
Not a fan?
No.
That's fair. I'm currently logging into the Joe Rose seat. And as you're aware, when you come in here after not being here for a while, I have to give them a sample of my blood.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm currently working through that.
At least once a month, I can't log in.
Yeah.
You got to change your password every 12 days.
Absolutely.
And then they give you change your password every 12 days and they give you 11-day warning.
For sure. So they're currently scanning my eye to make sure that I am who I say I am. Once I give my saliva sample, I should be up and running momentarily.
So this is Thanksgiving Wednesday for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I'm telling you right now, that's all I'm thinking about. And I'm nervous.
Nervous.
I'm nervous because, here's the deal, dude.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead on and put it out there like this. One of the reasons why I love having Thanksgiving at my house.
Yep.
Is because I know I'm going to like the food.
Yeah, and, I mean, that's usually,
right.
honestly, you're one of the better cooks I know. So that makes sense.
There's a couple of things I don't like playing with. I don't like playing Russian roulette with food.
Yeah.
So if you go to a new restaurant or you go over to somebody else's house for a holiday without fully knowing what or how that person cooks or what's going to be prepared, you're playing Russian roulette with a meal.
Yeah.
And as we know, I like meals. Right? I like to sit back and eat. I also know that when I'm at my house, I have a TV outside if I'm cooking something on the grill.
Yeah.
I have a TV inside. I have another TV for the kids, right? Everything, you know, I know where everything is, everything's situated. Last time I went to Canadian Thanksgiving, dude took all the TVs and put them in the garage and say, we just gonna talk.
What?
That's not the worst part.
What do you mean just talk?
Everybody was speaking French.
Okay, so we're not gonna talk then. You're gonna talk and I'm gonna listen.
Right. The food wasn't ready.
Yeah.
And you know, like some people try too hard to do food because then they like, they'll walk around hors d'oeuvres and stuff like that. I'm like, it's Thanksgiving. We ain't got time for all that. Let's get to the turkey, the ham, the mac and cheese, you know, the stuffing.
Man.
That's what we here for. We ain't here for no warming snacks. Let's go.
Is that how Canada or Canadian separate?
No, I just think it was there.
Oh,
and that's what I mean about playing Russian roulette.
That's fair. That's a fair.
Right? You know, that's why people have traditions.
Correct.
Right? On Thanksgiving, we go here. On Christmas, we go here. Because you're familiar with what you're going to get. You're familiar with what you have to bring.
Yeah.
And everything's good. Everybody going to have a good time because you know what you're in store for. I'm not quite sure. I don't know. Are we going to have a turkey and a ham? Are we just going to have a turkey? Are we just going to have a ham? You know, is the ham going to be dry? What kind of ham we going to have? Are we going to have spiral ham? Are we going to have the ham in the bag?
How's the turkey being prepared? Are you deep frying the turkey? What are we doing?
No, they don't. That, I'm the only one that do that. Okay. I'm the only one that have all the tools for that.
That's dangerous, Leroy.
No, it's not.
Deep frying the turkey?
It's not dangerous.
It's dangerous, dude.
Here's why.
I'm going to tell you why. All right.
The reason why people who fry turkeys have problems is because they never did it before and they don't know the rules. First of all, if you're going to deep fry a turkey, get your turkey about 5 days in advance. Why is that? It cannot be frozen. It cannot be cold. It has to be room temperature.
The water, if it's frozen.
No, that's not it.
Oh, I'm trying to make
When you drop a frozen turkey in the thing, you're going to blow it up.
Okay, all right.
And that's what causes, because people put frozen turkey in there.
Hmm.
Okay? The other thing, if you're not familiar with frying a turkey, don't fill your grease up all the way to the top. You're putting a 20-pound or 15-pound bird in there, it's going to raise the level. So people put too much oil in there, they heat the oil up, they drop the turkey in, the oil falls all over the place. Okay?
All right.
Simple rules.
These are safety tips for anyone listening right now.
Safety tips.
Kitchen fires.
If you want a deep fried turkey, and you go and get your turkey today, don't do it.
Don't do it.
You haven't prepared.
What if I leave it outside? Well, I'll just leave it outside. Get a little warm.
Man, you know how long it takes for a turkey to thaw out? A frozen turkey, it takes like 2-3 days.
Damn.
Yeah. So, see, that's where, look, right now you just blew up your house.
My house is gone.
You say, I'm just going to leave it in overnight. The outside going to feel, you know, room temperature, but the middle of it is frozen.
Huh.
So, there's those things.
They say right now, or on Thanksgiving Day, kitchen fires are more than double what they normally are on a regular day.
Too many cooks in the kitchen, right?
Yeah.
And let me tell you something for your amateurs.
Ooh.
And I'm going to just throw this out there. It don't cook quicker if you turn the fire up.
That's not true. It totally does.
No, it does not.
Yeah.
Let me pull a Toby.
So, you know what a sear is? Raise it. You know what a sear is?
Yeah, I know what a sear. I know what a reverse sear.
Sear means you turn it up nice and hot,
I don't know what a sear is.
You put it on both sides of your meat or your fish or whatever.
Yep.
It gets crunchy on the outside, tender on the inside. Right? Yes. That's what hot fire does. Hot fire cook the outside, it don't cook the inside. So depending on what you cooking, you can't sear everything. Some things need to be cooked all the way through. For example, chicken. You can't sear chicken.
I can sear chicken.
All you're going to get is burnt chicken.
You know who was cooking last night?
Who was cooking?
Dame Lillard.
Okay.
I'm sick and tired of hearing 11 minutes of food talk day before Thanksgiving and when it was games yesterday.
We almost lost Tobin last night.
Dame literally almost caused a crash out from Tobin.
He went from saying, I never wanted him. I don't want him. Then soon as Dame start cooking, I really wanted him. Damn you, Joe Cronin. We almost had to get the tranquilizer gun out again.
Yeah.
Is that the reason why you took the day off?
Yeah.
He's still recovering from last night's outing, apparently.
I would say this, is that isn't it weird? And you got to give so much credit to the big three, right? To have those many stars come to on a team and be able to play together. Because if Dame is out and Giannis is on, he cooks and they do well. if Giannis is out and Dame is going, he cooks, right? But they can't quite get it going together.
Right. Well, earlier.
Well, I'm just saying, right.
But like you always say, sometimes things take time. Things take time.
I agree with that.
So right now.
It's been damn near a year, though.
Sometimes it takes a year. It took a year for the Heat. For the big three.
Man, we made it to the finals.
You could make it to the finals, but they didn't win. They didn't get to the expectation. Yeah. So, you know what I'm saying? Like,
JJ
they even admitted them themselves.
JJ Barea.
Right. They even admitted it themselves.
And you could look at that situation and probably say the best thing that happened for the three of them was what happened the first year. Because then they, you know, they got everything in order. But it's still like you can say what you want about Boston, right? It seemed like everybody could cook. You see what I'm saying? It seemed like everybody could cook. It never seems like it has to be either or.
It never seems like all five guys are going to be off that night.
Right, exactly. But the thing is that if, like we said about Tatum, the whole finals, he ain't the reason why y'all winning.
No.
And so, but how many teams could really do that? So when Predator gets back,
talk about Chris Middleton.
Yeah, here we go.
Yeah, Chris Middleton. When he get back, and then when Giannis and the three of those guys are together, they still got to figure that out. So they're winning games with one or the other, but are they gonna have to go through this all over again when all three of them?
They were struggling when they had the first the Dame and Giannis. Now they're winning. Yeah. I think they're about to get their act together.
Okay.
We just
okay. Like I'm just asking.
No. I just think we're in a time where we instantly see something, we're gonna critique it and say it's not working.
Yeah, but we've been seeing it for a year. I'm not making.
Let's think about it, Leroy. They were 30-11 when they fired their head coach, so it was working.
Hey,
you know what I mean? That was ridiculous.
That was right. Working. You know what I mean? They might have not liked how it was working, but it was working.
You know what that is? I call that the old hockey fire. Right? Hockey fire, they guys after a week into the season. Nope, this ain't going to work.
But a game like that last night, that's a bad. I ain't like that loss for the Heat. Not with Giannis there.
That's why I didn't like it, because.
No, Giannis.
When they got back into it, right? Then they start getting like. Feeling themselves and taking bad shots, turning the ball over, and they never got over that hump where if they would have just kept doing what they were doing, you know what I mean? Like, the worst thing you could do when you're playing a game like that with a lot of people starting to cook is not get a shot, right? And they had a whole bunch of trips where they didn't even get a shot.
Or maybe the wrong person is shooting.
Well, because they passed
Terry.
You can't even look. Terry started cooking in the fourth. Terry's one of the reasons why you got back in it. So, and so like that last shot, believe it or not, was an open shot. Hmm. With a second left, that's an open shot. That's about as open as you're gonna get. And you want either him or Tyler shooting the three. That's it. But before that. It almost seemed like they got there, they start knocking on the door, and then they start playing we got to catch up basketball, like shooting threes and like they didn't keep playing the same way they had played when they got back into it. So it's one of those things where you ever get into a situation where, yeah, I'm feeling it. I'm hot. I got it going, right? And so instead of really – honing in on what got you there, you think now I can do this or now I can do that. And then you end up not getting anything out of it. And that's kind of what happened towards the end of that game, is that they just really didn't get quality possessions like they did, which got them back into the game. Because, I mean, Doc was going through timeouts like Tic Tacs because the Heat had it on them. And they just kind of let him off the hook, you know what I mean, with the bad possessions and stuff like that. So I thought there was no chance they was losing that. Then all of a sudden, the big tree start making threes from the middle of nowhere. You know what I mean?
Ooh, Lopez?
Yeah, you can't guard that.
The big tree.
Because if he hold a ball over his head, he 8 feet.
Yeah.
Right. Sure. So he's shooting. Who gonna jump at him?
Can't block that.
He don't jump. So you just got, you know, it happens. You know, they start making shots. But I wasn't upset that they lost Vlad. I was more upset at how the last 3 or 4 minutes played out in the game. Like, just no good looks, no quality shots. Spo wanted to play a defense where it was going to require a bunch of guys to scramble, and it was all young guys, right? So periodically they got out of position, and so I was a little frustrated, but not. The good thing was is that I like when the Heat play their young guys and have confidence in their young guys, because there's going to come a point in time where you're going to have to rely on these guys, right? The Heat in the last 2 years were old as hell, even with the young guys. And now they got younger, and those young guys are playing and giving quality minutes. So it was good to see that. I still think, I don't care what nobody say, you telling me Kalel can't help this team?
No, you saw yesterday. Bam with foul trouble, Kevin Love with back spasms. Kalel went in there, and, I mean, it wasn't a lot of time, but it definitely was enough to change the outcome of the game. He was plus
11. He was plus 11.
Yeah, plus 11, which is the second highest. Everyone hates that stat, though.
Just out of curiosity.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Kalel was plus 11. Did the Heat win? Who cares?
Oh, it was good. It was good for the all comeback, though, Leroy.
When he was on the court, Leroy.
9 minutes plus 11.
Okay.
He was a presence. The team played better when he was on the court.
Check this out.
Heywood Highsmith, so, minus 17.
Can I ask just a simple basketball question?
Oh, yes.
How long do you have to play basketball before you know not to shoot a layup underneath the goal? Kalel got stuck underneath the rim so many times.
Rookie move, you know? He's getting used to the spacing of the floor.
He's been playing basketball his whole life.
Yeah. Court's different, though. Court, you know, the court was weird yesterday. He couldn't really understand and make things out.
That's a nasty
yesterday.
Court, by the way.
Not a good-looking
court.
We
need to stop with those colors for the NBA
court. It looked like mustard.
Yeah, just keep it regular. Stop trying. Who told you? What 3-year-old of some NBA exec said, ooh, daddy, this would be nice, and then they ran with it? Spank that child.
They
put him in timeout. That was ridiculous.
Yeah. Vlad, we dealing with intangibles. Timeouts.
Timeout. That's why I said put him in timeout. You heard? That's why I changed it immediately. You heard what I said? Put him in timeout. You know.
Put him in timeout. Back home, you getting that heat.
Come on, those courts are disgusting all over, bro.
Hey, it's not good.
I will say this, though. I do know when it's a cup game, and the Heat don't have to worry about it. They can fold that thing up.
Yeah, they don't want to go to Vegas.
Yeah.
They don't want to go to Vegas.
They already won the Summer League. They're good off Vegas. We had a good time.
Yeah. You would think the professionals would want to go to Vegas.
But they ain't getting 500.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. The Summer League didn't get 500.
Nope. But, I mean, they're doing the best they can. Damn, Spo doesn't want to play anyone except for Pelle Larsen. So, like, they're doing the best they can.
Pelle Larsen's all over the place.
Nah, he's doing amazing. But you can just kind of tell Spo has something for him for sure. But it's good. He's been playing great. So I can't even complain. These headlines have been brought to you by... should probably have the thing ready before I say that, right?
Hey.
Yeah.
That's a rookie move right there.
Rookie move,
it's definitely something with a car.
Definitely something with a car, but this week's car is different. At Doral Hyundai, it's where you choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai models in inventory like Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. Remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai. As you've already noticed, Tobin out for the day, Leroy holding things down, Vlad holding things down, and myself. We got an action-packed show because, of course, we got trivia. We have.
Come on. That's probably the reason why I'm here.
Can we do a Thanksgiving theme?
You know we have a Thanksgiving. Well, this is what we have. We have Thanksgiving football trivia specifically, right?
Okay, we're not going to do who's the biggest turkey. We're not doing that, right?
No. We're not doing that, but we are ranking, though. I do have a top threes that we're going to go through, including top three pies, top three sides, and a bunch of other things we're going to be ready for
now,
as well.
The top three pies.
No. Don't even vary by
culture.
Maybe. I think I got one that's gonna trump no matter
I have one that trumps all.
I have one that is in all of the groups. Right.
So, I have one that's
One that's in everybody's group. Apple pie.
Apple pie is number one.
And the apple pie is in everybody's group.
We'll find out. We'll determine who has the best list when we do our top threes. Oh, more headlines.
I got the best list.
We'll find out.
I like the Rocks Pie.
Rocks Pie, what's that? I guess I'll Google it.
You Google it.
All right, perfect. We got that and much more on the Tobin and Leroy Show.
WQAM, broadcasting live from the Ed Moore Sawgrass.
Welcome back to the Tobin and Leroy Show. Filling in for Tobin today, our boy is out. Tomorrow he'll be in doing a four-hour pregame for the Miami Dolphins as they take on the Green Bay Packers.
I got to tell you.
Yeah.
This is the type of weather where you need to rely on some type of power game. And this is what I've been talking about all year.
Jalen Wright.
You got to have, in these conditions, you got to have some type of power game. You just do. I think that's one of the reasons why I always played up north. My game fit it.
Tough.
Nobody down south ever said, hey, come and bring that power down here. It's always the schools that, hey, in December and November and January, we need a power back.
Were you recruited by Miami?
No, I was recruited by
any teams in the South?
Yeah, any South teams?
Yeah, besides Tulane, LSU.
Ooh, LSU.
I took a visit to USC.
Ooh.
Nebraska.
Well, okay, hold on.
Yeah.
Before we get to, we preview this Thanksgiving game. Favorite campus you visited, Leroy?
Dude. See, let's put it all in context.
Somebody had fun in recruiting trips.
Now, the only, how about this? The only one that my parents talked me into going to was Illinois because they went to high school with one of the coaches. Illinois was the only game, the only trip I took during football season.
Oh, wow.
So when I saw 50, 60,000 people, right? I was like, I almost signed right then and there. Here's the kicker. I went to Michigan. It was in like January. USC, January. Nebraska, January. So I didn't really.
You didn't get to experience the college football games.
Right. And so how my rankings for, I went to a LSU game. Right. And I went to a Tulane game.
Right. But that's locals.
Right. So it was weird for me because I don't know how I would have reacted if I would have saw Michigan with 100,000.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Or USC.
Yeah, because I wanted to see. Because would you? Because you from the South. If you go to USC in that campus, and I know that campus was beautiful.
It's beautiful.
It was beautiful. It's beautiful now, so it was beautiful back then.
Yeah.
But if you were able to go to the Coliseum and see 100,000 people going crazy, knowing their history of running backs.
So how many people? Right. Jesus.
That, the Coliseum?
It would have definitely. It would have definitely had an impact, because under no circumstances, and this is not a knock on Illinois, under no circumstance should I have been considering Illinois. Right? When your options are LSU, Nebraska, USC, and Michigan. You see what I'm saying? I'm just, and that's just like, and I'll give you a perfect example. When kids, when they say, oh, we got this transfer, we got this, you know, my first question is that I ask all the time, and Frog Boy tell you this. What other schools were trying to get him? If you ended up with a kid that was only getting offers from Rutgers and Maryland, then you didn't win. He won. But if you get a guy that was looking at Ohio State, Alabama, LSU, right? Now you got something. That's what happened with Cam Ward. Everybody wanted Cam Ward. He came here. So you won.
Well, everybody wanted him after he proved himself, though. Nobody wanted him out of high school.
No, everybody wanted him after he left Washington State, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So that's the barometer that I have. When I see where kids end up going and I see what were his options, that's how I determine the level of player you're getting. Because that means another you know, big-time university wanted him too. And he chose you.
Yeah, that's how I felt.
They got a transfer from Rutgers and transfer from. I'm like, all right, where could he have gone? Yeah, that's just how I look at it.
What school's after you, Marco?
Oh, I had a bunch of schools. Right? Yeah, I had a bunch of schools after me. After they saw my Pee Wee highlight tape, I had Everest, DeVry, Kaiser, Broward College. They were beating down my door. Le Cordon Bleu.
Oh, man.
Yeah, eventually, I just decided, you know what? I want to go to radio.
They probably saw you eating probably when
Blue. Hey. No, they saw that. They were like, wow, he has oddly quick feet. And I was like, yeah, that's really what I'm known for. That's really what I'm They call me Toe Tap.
You say quick feet or quick eats?
All right, so the Miami Dolphins.
Point for Leroy.
Miami Dolphins set to face off tomorrow against the Green Bay Packers. One of the biggest tests of the season. But a lot of narratives have been swirling around about Miami Dolphins' ability to overcome the cold. I read this Perkins article. And,
man, I'm so tired of this.
This cold.
This garbage.
It voices garbage. It to me. I'm just going to just, there's an audio button. I can just hear that.
I'm happy that you're able to read.
No, yeah. I didn't. Yeah. It was one of them voices.
I'm absolutely 100% disgusted with you making this, when people make this about everything other than the players.
Absolutely. I think Chris Perkins feels the same way. We're going to talk more about this cold weather narrative when we come back on the Tobin Leroy Show.
The Dolphins.
Welcome back to the Tobin and Leroy Show. We got Vlad holding things down in the producer's chair. Leroy holding things down. Show ponies at home getting a little rest.
We have breaking news.
We have breaking news at the NFL, Leroy. The Vikings.
Any dimes.
The Vikings have signed free safety Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones has agreed to sign with the Vikings. This puts him on the roster right now. He's going to at least start on the practice squad, of course, but he'll be on the roster with Sam Darnold, also a quarterback from New York that got sent packing, And Nick Mullins, who is probably not a good quarterback, just based off.
They just holding it down until McCarthy gets back, because McCarthy was going to be the starter.
McCarthy's
not coming back till next year.
Yeah.
Oh, Vlad, change your life, brother.
Oh, sparkling cherry cola.
Wow. Change your life. He's got the good stuff.
Yeah. Change your life. I brought them one yesterday.
Yeah, it was, and it's actually really good. It doesn't taste like something trying to imitate cherry cola. It actually just tastes like cherry cola.
But it's sparkling?
It is sparkling. Okay. A little fancy with it.
I thought Danny Dimes to the Vikings. I think Sam Darnold got banged up either last week, a couple weeks ago. So
this kind of hurts.
Got banged up. I don't know if I'm ready to go to Danny Dimes, though. I need to see some work. I need to see, because look, I'm going to say this, and this is to no disrespect to anybody, but we always look at the player. We never look at the people coaching the player to put the player in the best possible situation. And I give you a perfect example. Brian Flores is an excellent coach. How he treated Tua was garbage. Okay? In fact, and I will say this, and tell me if I'm wrong. If he had not treated Tua the way he did his first 2 years, there wouldn't be as much negativity around Tua every time he throws an incomplete pass or the team loses. You understand what I'm saying? Because here, the whole thing with Tua, and I'll go bigger picture here. When he got drafted, there is nobody who thought Tua was going to play his first year.
It's always been about his health.
Right, but he was supposed to heal. He was going to have like a red shirt year. He was going to get healthy. He was getting his body stronger and all this. Then mysteriously, he started playing his rookie year. And it didn't go well. And his second year was even worse because he mentally wasn't.
Yeah, he was done to it.
Right. So seeing it firsthand, I can't just dismiss that this could happen somewhere else. I can't. Well, there's been quarterbacks that have gone other places and had success. And if they do have success and go on somewhere else and flourish, to me, that basically means that the teams before him didn't have the right system for him or didn't use him accordingly. Because if you can play, you can play. There's no question in my mind that they didn't draft Danny Dimes to be what he ended up being. And all the things that they said he could do, he can do. So what's the problem? So we'll see how this works out, you know, in other places. And so I'm not just going to dismiss, you know, I'm not the guy that when a guy gets cut, he was a bum, right? Because I look at even what Cleveland did with Baker. The reason why Cleveland got rid of Baker was because he tried to play that last season hurt because it was a contract year. And basically they treated him like, if you remember back in the day, the Chargers treated Drew Brees. Right? Because Drew Brees got hurt.
Oh, yeah, they had Philip Rivers in the back.
They drafted Philip Rivers, and they told one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play, take a hike.
Well, I mean, at the time, he wasn't that guy yet. He had to get to New Orleans.
But he had an excellent year before he broke his arm.
Right, but he wasn't. But the Drew Brees that we're talking about had to pair up with Sean Payton. The same way that happened in New Orleans.
Wait, you're actually helping.
I know I'm helping your point, but what I'm saying is, I get that you when teams make a decision, especially when you have two quarterbacks or capable quarterbacks. Same thing happened with the Bears. Right. The Bears' Fields was showing some type of improvement, but they had a chance of grabbing a once in a lifetime quarterback. You're not going to let that opportunity
go. Who is basically doing the same thing that Fields was doing.
So then,
and so now,
and you, then you look at the organization. Then now the answer is, okay, it's the organization's fault.
Think of as a whole, how many top five quarterbacks Chicago's going through.
Fam, case in point, my team.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold's playing well.
Right.
Okay, Geno Smith. Like, oh, they got to get to the right. Same thing with your guy here. The minute, Mikey Fitt came down, and he got with Tua and implemented that confidence and that I'm riding with you. We've seen, now we haven't talked about Tua as, there's always going to be question about his health. It's always going to be about question of health.
I don't have a problem with that.
But there's no more question about can he quarterback. Right. Can he quarterback or be the guy? There's no more question of that. Now, the question is, can he win a playoff game? Can he win in the cold? That you can add. That's going to happen.
Well, until, like he said, until they break that narrative. But here's the thing with some people. Some people, when they get over the hump, people just accept they got over the hump. Others, they just move the bar. So they could go out and blow out Green Bay.
Yeah.
And then it's just going to say, but can you win a playoff game?
No. Before they get to that, they got to make sure they get there. Because you got to understand, now if they win in Green Bay and they win, like you say, blow them out and win in the cold, show that they're a physical team, they're not a finesse team, and then now are they a threat now? Are they a surprise? Have they shown you something? Because every other team that's ahead of them, even though they have better records, we are looking for something. Like we as the media, we're always looking for something. So if you don't win dominantly, what's wrong with you? If you lose, you're done. If you win one game, now are you the team that can threaten, say, Kansas City? Can you know that's it's just everything's got to be something.
Here's what I like about the narrative about playing in the cold. Okay. So let's look at some of the players. And mostly I'm going to go defense. Calais Campbell, right? Let's go with Zach Sealer played in the cold of the cold in North Ohio.
And he played in last year, too, in Kansas City.
Right.
The defense played well last year.
Let's go with Chop Robinson.
He played in Penn State.
Penn State. You see what I'm saying?
But
Lever, while we sitting here talking about Miami.
It's cold. But Green Bay's...
Huh?
Green Bay is a different type of cold, though.
It's going to be 27
degrees,
apparently.
This state is pretty cold.
But listen, Green Bay is a different type of cold.
Can I explain to you what
there's hot,
in the cold?
There's hot. There's hot, and then there's South Florida hot.
Let me explain what's playing in the cold is like. So let's get rid of this narrative once and for all.
Ooh.
When you go onto the field to play football, you're not actually cold. Because the whole time you're standing on the sideline, you got heat, you got the heaters and the jackets and whatever. So you're the only time you are actually in the cold is when you're running around. Now, there's certain situations that no matter what, the cold affects. Feet and hands. I'm going to just tell you that right now. Feet and hands. And once you get cold, your reaction time. So you can see a ball coming your way and your body, and you just got to get used to it. You got to get used to it.
I don't know about
But here, it is no different than it is for the other team. Stop acting like because they play in the cold, your body is your body.
But you're used to it.
No, you're not. I played in Minnesota, in Michigan, and in Cleveland. You don't ever get used to it. Look, the human body, when you get in the cold and your hands and your feet get numb, they ain't used to it.
But Leroy. If you live in a place that you know it's going to be cold, you're going to do everything you can to prepare for it. You're accustomed to it. Hear it. Understand. Let me say. If I know it's cold for 3 months, I'm going to get ready for 3 months of cold. I'm not gonna be ready for 1 week. Not even a week. 36 hours when they fly in, boom, they play in the game.
Here's what I would say to your point. And if you play in the cold and you experience the hand and feet thing 3 weeks in a row, I would say you know what adjustments you have to make. If you're not, and that's your first time, it could be a little shocking, right? That your fingers and your hands aren't moving like you want them to. But I will say this. There's very few people in the NFL that haven't played in cold weather. And so from that standpoint,
are we sure about
like that? Even Tua has played in the cold.
And you've seen how he's done that.
Yeah,
that's unfair. That's unfair.
I'm just saying.
It's been rough games, though.
I've always been the guy that when I go on the field, I think I know how my hands feel. So his hands gonna feel the same way, right? I gotta hold a football. He gotta grab me. You understand what I'm saying? So when you're trying to grab a jersey or something like that, that's a whole lot different than a football. So I always think of it like he's experiencing the same thing. Catching a ball in the cold is crazy because just imagine taking your shoes off and trying to catch it with your shoes instead of your hand, your fingers, because you can't really.
I actually never thought of that. That's kind of, we got to add that to the combine. I got a combine I'm setting up for them.
That's what it's like. If you put your shoes on your hands,
some floor shots,
try to catch the ball like that. That's
some church shoes.
It's not all the time because sometimes you have the hand warmers or whatever. But I used to remember every time we played Pittsburgh, right? We had the little hand warmers with the things. And I'd play one play. And somebody on defense would make sure they took that thing off from around my waist and threw it. Right? So it's like, yeah. But I like. Yeah, man, it's
listen. If they win tomorrow, you win at that is the cathedral of cold places. Like that's when you're talking about cold, the ice, you know what I mean? The frozen tundra. So
What was the coldest? Believe it or not, some of the coldest games
was in Cleveland.
Have not been in Green Bay.
No, I know in Cleveland,
Kansas City.
Oh well, last year.
No, but even before that, they always get that crazy weather. And then keep in mind,
that's that lake effect snow.
Y'all forgetting?
I don't know what that
before
means.
Before Minnesota.
Oh, before the dome. Stadium. Yeah, before the dome.
No, I'm talking about before they built this new stadium. Because remember the roof caved into the old one. So they built the new one. They had to play outdoors at the University of Minnesota for 2 years.
Yeah, they played in Seattle in one of those cold wild card games.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's some places that you go to Buffalo.
Oh, that has lake effect
snow.
Buffalo's
right on that water. They got the lake effect snow.
Oh, yes.
I've never played in a cold game in New York, which is crazy. Right? But Buffalo, Pittsburgh,
which is New York.
Cincinnati, not really. Not is that New York? Am I wrong?
It's more New York than the actual
they play in Jersey.
I'm trying to think of some of the places. The worst, like most unpredictable weather, Seattle and Oakland. When you play up in San Fran or Oakland, you'll get all the weather conditions in one game.
It might be hot. It might be cold.
It'd be hot, windy, then cold, raining. Then windy, then rainy, then sloppy. So you got to bring like three pairs. Every time you go to San Fran, they go, bring three pairs of cleats.
Okay, so here's my last point, Leroy, before we go, Rick. I think it's easier for a player that plays in a northern city, the cold cities, to come down for a playoff game in South Florida than it is for the Miami Dolphins to go to the northern, to a city up north in January or February.
Yeah, but here's the deal. When
to win a playoff game.
When you come down here in September, that's different. But when you come down for a playoff game, it's beautiful weather.
Right, but you want that. Because you're used to cold. Like, that's nothing. Like, come on, man.
It is. To your point, it's easier to get acclimated going from cold to warm. Right? But to go from down here to frozen, right? Although a lot of guys, and this is what I say, a lot of guys on the team have done it. They know what is in store. And I like the fact that when you think of the trenches, all those guys are used to it. They've played in it. So I would just look at, okay, how my DB is going to respond? How my wide receiver is going to respond? How are my skilled players going to, you know, perform? That's what I worry about. How's Tua going to perform? How is Tua getting acclimated to it? Is Tua going to be okay? You see what I'm saying? So that's it. But I don't, again, you can be used to it. Like, guess what? A boxer get used to being punched. It still don't mean he can't get knocked out. Right? It's like there's certain things you know what you're going to deal with. But, like, you still got to deal with it. And that's for both teams.
Well, we actually knocked out the clock. So,
yeah.
Our Tua coming up next.